B65 Structural Consciousness. Number 1A.
All right, we begin with our discussion on the question that you have asked yesterday. As we have seen yesterday, most of the questions are actually not fundamental questions. They are not questions that touch the fundamental structure of the science of being, but perhaps very interesting and very necessary details. And I think in the course of the week, I can touch on most of these detailed questions too. But naturally, what we want to do is not to have these detailed questions, because that would just disrupt the whole purpose of what we are doing in this age. Because our age is the age of science, and not with a structural consciousness, and not the age of atomistic thinking. So I will put first perhaps the accent on the difference between atomistic thinking and the structural consciousness that is demanded of our age. And this is a main issue for me, but it's a main issue for the world. If the world is in a mess, and it is in a mess, and if we want to help that world today, we should not take the methods of yesterday to help the world of today. That just doesn't work. But that's one main point. It's simple. Didn't I put it simply? Yeah. You know, the great truths are simple. They are so simple that the human mind cannot fathom them. They are so simple that the human mind cannot value the impact of it. That's the trouble. So science is very simple. There's nothing as simple as science. Atomistic reasoning is very, very complicated. Atomistic reasoning, atomistic demonstration, atomistic healing is very, very complicated. It's so complicated that the human mind can't fathom it. It's a tangled wilderness. Whereas science is very clear, simple, straightforward. Now, the issue which we have, and the issue which I see so difficult, apparently, for the students, is to make that transition, that paradigm shift, from atomistic thinking, atomistic interests, atomistic demonstrations, atomistic understanding, to something very, very different, namely to the structural understanding of being, to the structural demonstration of being, and therefore to have a structural purpose in view, and no more an atomistic, subjective, individually subjective purpose in view. Did I put that clearly? Are you sure? Are you sure that the next moment, the next day, the next time you see somebody and talk over the table, that you are not falling back into the atomistic purpose and into the interest of atomistic questions and answers? This is the big issue. And don't blame you if you fall back, because you will fall back. You have been educated all your life, and the world has been educated all life, in thinking atomistically. And the world is going to bits through the atom, going right to bits through the atom, if we are not able to get a consciousness that is adapted to our age. And that which deals with the atomistic is certainly the structural, we could also call it the holistic. But the holistic must be structured, and not just a one whole, but a one structured whole. And if we can't do that, we are of no use to the whole world. We're of no use. We just slide down with the whole world into a catastrophe. And there is no use to say, well, we have science. We don't have science as long as we still think atomistically the way we are used. They have been educated. And wrongly educated. Is that clear? Can you really make swear on it? Huh? A holy, what do you call it?
Covenant.
Vow, a holy vow, huh? Can you do that?
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
No more, huh?
You can try.
Yeah, huh? Really, to be tempted, to be interested too much, a little bit you are allowed to, huh? But the main view, the main purpose, the main line, huh? No more to be interested in gnats. Be interested in those big, nice camels. And don't strain gnats anymore. Try to find if you can think like camels in categories. Huh? The camels are our categories. The gnats are our atoms. They swirl around. You say swirl around? Huh? You don't know where they are. You don't know how they put them together. You don't know what the meaning of it is. These are all those infinite ideas swirling around in your consciousness. And that atomistic thinking, that's not scientific thinking, because they are ideas. Just because you think in ideas, that does not say you are a scientist. Not at all. Not by a long sight. Is that clear too? Huh? There must be a few things that must be now absolutely clear once and for all, even if you fall away from it. That doesn't matter. As long as we know that when we fall away, that we have fallen away, and don't think we are big scientists and are talking big things. That's the purpose. We can't ask that we make a mutation in consciousness from one day to the next, or from one hour to the next, not even from one year to the next. We can't ask that. The old concepts are too much ingrained in our consciousness that we just can throw it overboard and say, finished with it, now, from now on, from this very second on, always and never without any deviation, I'm going to have a new consciousness. It takes time. It takes, but not only time, it takes using that time, always to say to oneself, well, old boy, where are you? I couldn't say, well, old girl, where are you? Where are you? Adam, where are you? Are you in the atomistical or are you in the science, which demands structure? System first, and before system, categories. So that demands that you are thinking in categories. Categories have order, have laws. And then think in system by combining those categories, categories within categories, and therefore build up a structural consciousness. And in that way, get a holistic consciousness, some like the holographic consciousness, meaning that structure must be a whole, must not be a structure of a part, but must be a structure that is relevant for every part, so-called part, because there are no parts, that one finds in every so-called part the whole structure. And if we are not training ourselves in that way, well, we are just belonging to an old gang of metaphysicians, that's all. And think that we have science and fool ourselves that we think that we have science and don't have it. And then we talk in terms of science, we use all the nice terms of science, you know, calculus and matrix and structure and system and categories. We always use those terms, but wrongly. In our consciousness, they are not what they mean. And that's the difficulty. We we have to go down and get down to those great fundamental categories of being and see that we have a completely different consciousness. And you can see today, if we once want to reason from the material view, we have a material world. We see what is lacking in that material world. We see that the main point is that things don't hinge together. That the ecology, in the wider sense, not only in the sense of the ecology of nature, but in the ecology of finance, ecology of military things, in the ecology of relationship, of international relationship, everything is lacking. There is no ecology there. There is no getting together into one consistent, coherent whole. Everything is against the other. One interest is against the other interest. So we can see what is missing in this world where technology has made out of this world a one world. See, technology has made out of this world a one world. That wasn't so 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and earlier. There, every country could live, so to say, by itself. Every continent, more or less, could live by itself. Well, every village, every farmer could live by himself. He couldn't care less what's going on the other side of the world, and he didn't know. He could be self-contained and survive with his little business. Today it's no more possible. Today everything hinges together, but it doesn't click. If something happens on the other side of the world, it affects us. We can't say, well, that's in China, that doesn't affect us. It affects us. So, can you see the problem that we have today is that the old consciousness, that egotistic consciousness, that thinks in isolated atoms, in isolated standpoints, in isolated interests, that whole consciousness is a wrong consciousness for today. It may have been a right consciousness down 2,000, 3,000 years ago. May have been all right for the nomads, in the desert. That's all right. They didn't care when they were going through the desert with their camels and so from one oasis to the next, what happens in Europe or what happened with the Indians in Alaska. They didn't care. It didn't influence them. But today it does. So, what is missing is a culturing of a consciousness that has a holistic sense, but that holistic must be a structural whole, and therefore we are asked to exchange, so to say, a atomistic consciousness in every way through to a holistic consciousness, which brings with it a lot of implications. A structure, an atomistic consciousness has, for instance, another purpose in healing than a structural consciousness. It has another purpose of understanding than a structural consciousness has. It has quite a different purpose of understanding. The atomistic consciousness has a different method than the structural consciousness. So you can see we are not going just have to exchange an atomistic concept against a structural concept. There are dozens of implications that are deduced from that. And if we, in our study, are not aware of that, we just mix up everything. And we say, yes, I have a structural consciousness, and yet we have a view of healing that is atomistic. Or we have a purpose of understanding that is atomistic. And not even knowing it, because we have that wonderful term, structure. And we think if we use that term, structure, we have it. We haven't it. It's only a symbol for a whole new attitude or a whole new consciousness. Can you see that? Well, this is the tone on which we want to dwell today, and just look at it from various angles, so that looking at it from various angles, we begin to realize what it means, what it involves, and what is asked of us in the way of changing our consciousness. Yes. Well, if we are investigating our whole worldview or our whole consciousness from this holistic structural point of view, then we have to ask ourselves that big question: how have we arrived at this point? What does it really mean in contradiction to what has gone before and what has been perhaps molding our lives, molding our attitude, molding our purpose in life and understanding and so on? Therefore, I like to think over with you together. Perhaps I like to ask sometimes a simple question, not because I want to examine you, but what I feel, I try it, I don't know if I'm succeeding really. I try to ask you simple questions, and they may be so simple that you don't like to answer because you feel, well, that's too simple. But I don't ask those questions perhaps for that purpose, if you give the right answer. But I will ask those questions in order that I want to try to educate your thought in logical scientific reasoning, which is lacking so much, you know, so much. This country is not educated to think scientifically. And less, as what I hear from the newspapers and so on, that the educational system is not getting better and better, but it's going down and down, and was never really high. Sorry to say, it's not an accusation of a Swiss against the Americans, it's just stating something, which is a question of life and death. Let's see that what we are thinking is not just a side note, not an academic question. It's a question of survival. And who on earth has the answer? Nobody has the answer except, we have it. But we only have it if we really understand that answer. And only if we really make the implication and use the implication of that answer. Only then, really, can we be any help to this whole world situation. All right. Now, we have already pointed out that the world today is at a very crucial point. What is the so-called today? What is the age? And put, now we come. See, now we have asked a question. Now, how are we going to answer this question? If we are thinking in categories, we must answer this question in a category. Is that clear? See, you are not just going to think, well, what is that age? But you are going to take this atomistic question and say, this has no value per se if it's not put into relationship with the whole. And in this way you put a question, which is atomistic, into a categorical question, into a category. And only if you do that, we can find an answer. So I say, what is today? What is the situation today? What is that? In which category do you put that?
Truth.
Into truth? Truth is love, yes?
Going from the 6th to the 7th year period, 1,000 year period?
See, that would be the biggest category. Mm-hmm. See, so you start always with the biggest category. And you say, well, today we are on the verge of from the 6th to the 7,000 year period. In our spiritual system, naturally, we always reduce everything into the system that is spiritually scientific and not into a human system and not into a material system. So, when we have a question like that, quite right, we say, where does that belong to? What? See, you take a question like that, which seems to be a question that is consistent or fulfilled in itself, whole in itself. What is today? Today is only today. You take that atomistic whole, it's an atomistic whole, and say, now I put it into a bigger framework. And the bigger framework is that you put that into a big category, the 1,000-year periods, and define it as the seventh, say the transition from the 6th to the 7,000 year period. Can you see what you have done? Now you have reasoned scientifically. Can you see what it means to reason according to categories? Yeah?
Then you're coming out from principle, and it's in principle.
Sure.
And that keeps you in that scientific principle structure, because you can't get out of it.
You can't get out of it, you see. We are always somehow in the system, and we have to see where in the system we are. Yeah. So can you see that, how you reason? You see, what is that different from earlier reasoning? Well, the earlier classical reasoning in the world, no matter if it's in chemistry or in physics or whatever it is, was different. You took something like a question, like any phenomena, and analyzed it into bits. Splitting it up into bits and say, I know what it is if I split it up and split it up until I come to the last to the last part. And then that thing is the whole of all the parts. That's the old reasoning. And we all are impressed by that. That's our schooling. That's what we hear from the first day we are born, or perhaps from the first, second year we are born up to now. It's always analyzing a situation, a thing, or whatever it is, into parts. That's an old way of doing things. Because that part cannot be seen what it is, what it actually is, until it's put into the bigger frame of reference. You see, that's ecology. That's spiritual, scientific ecology. To put parts into the whole. Yeah? Is that clear? So, we have to make a terrific mutation in our attitude already. That we say, I can't go along as the way we have been trained in school and in university 50 years ago or 60 years ago or even 30 years ago, that always takes anything and splits it up. We have to take that something and say, I don't know really what that something is until I first see it from the whole. Only then can I actually know what that part, so-called part, is. Then I see that part no more as a part. I see it then as an aspect of the whole. That's the great difference. Yeah?
Like last night you were bringing out, how could anyone have make sense out of the chart unless you understood the synonyms. Well, my question is, until, like when we're studying a chapter, we analyze the parts, you know, the statements, the facts that are given, like in the chapter on Atonement and Eucharist, or prayer, any chapter, so that we can see and understand the whole. My question is, I would think you'd have to know what made the whole.
Yes, that was the question yesterday. That you go out from the whole, you have to first to see what the whole is. Now, the point is always this, that when you go out first from the whole, you cannot have a definite answer. You can only have an approximation of that answer. And only when you take then that approximation and put it through a thorough analysis, what it is, you get a better approximation of the whole. That's how any science works. It never can go out right from the end, or we wouldn't need to have a beginning.
In other words, you've got Atonement and Eucharist, just for an example.
Yes.
And you know what that means. And
you see, that's a very good example. That's a very good example. You take a chapter of the textbook and you analyze it as a whole, say. And you come to quite a nice structure, say, of Atonement and Eucharist. And you have done a good job in structuring that text. But only until you know what is in all the other chapters do you really get the deeper meaning of that second chapter. So we can't say, well, first I have to know the whole textbook. We can't. We only can have an overall view, and then from the whole go to through the hierarchy of the whole, go to the next level, and see what it means.